Right. Okay, I guess feel like I have to start off like this. At least this is how the morning started for me. I need to get an opinion on the shirt. Okay. All right. How many are in on the shirt? Okay. How many are out on the shirt? Okay. Next question. How many think I bought the shirt? How many people think my wife bought the shirt? That's right. If you don't like the shirt, you can talk to her. Feels very festive though, doesn't it? It's a welcome to Covenant Grove moment right here. So we are in this series, God at the Movies, because we like to keep our eyes open for how God can be seen in various different things. Today, we're going to find wisdom from a cartoon lizard named Leo, played by Adam Sandler. Okay? Now, I don't know what is harder to believe, that we can get wisdom from a cartoon lizard or that we can get wisdom from Adam Sandler. Which one? I'm not sure which one of it is, but it turns out, thank you, it turns out that Leo, the lizard, battles some things that we battle as well, and he spends the entire movie, you should watch this movie, I love this movie, he spends the entire movie trying to figure out what makes him valuable, and I don't know if you've ever considered that, your own value, and your own contribution, and how you make a difference. There are different ways that we do this. One of the ways that a lot of people tend to lean into would be resume qualities, right? Like what kind of things would you put on a resume? I've worked here for this amount of years. This is the benevolent service I've done. This is the education that I have. Sometimes people view their life like that. Like those are the really important things. And if you're writing a resume, you should make yourself look good. There's things you should say, there are things you shouldn't say. I was reading Fortune magazine, and I found some things that people shouldn't say on their resume that they did. All right? Let me give you a couple. Reason for leaving last job. This is on a resume. Maturity leave. This was on a cover letter. It's best for employers that I not work with people. This one, God bless this guy. Personal interests, donating blood, 14 gallons so far. There's a hobby. Marital status, often. Children, various. This is a great one. The company made me a scapegoat. You know, a scapegoat is somebody that they blame if something goes wrong. The company made me a scapegoat just like my three previous employers. I'm pretty sure you're smart enough to not put any of those things on your resume. How is it that you determine your value? Well, today I want to talk about an area that you probably haven't thought of, but it is an avenue in which God can use you more than you ever imagined. And no one would put this on their resume. They would never think of themselves in this way. But there's a part of your life that God can use beyond any GPA, any previous work experience, any benevolent service that you've done. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So here's how I'd like to begin. Why don't you bow your head? You're here. It's summer, but some people are on vacation, but for whatever reason, God brought you into this room. What if he brought you into this room to speak directly to you in some part of your life? I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could walk out of this place having heard from God? I believe that he can do that. So why don't you just take a minute and say, God, this morning I pray that you'd speak to me from an unlikely source. Just take a moment. I'm going to give you a minute to pray, quietness of your own heart. Lord God, I pray that you'd meet us in this moment. This room is filled with friends who are going through difficult things, going through stressful things. Maybe some are going through amazing things. We want to rejoice with those people. But God, I pray that you would speak to each of us. That teach us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So if you got a Bible, I want you to open it up to the first book of Adam Sandler. I'm kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And as we look at 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing. And he is dealing with some of the resume values that we all deal with. In this particular chapter, there are some people that have come into the church in Corinth, and they've been trying to drag people astray. And so Paul is speaking about that. And in verse 4, he starts like this. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I am in the least inferior to those quote unquote super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. There are people who are sneaking into the church who are trying to drag people away. And Paul had said this and had portrayed Jesus like this, and they're pointing in a different direction. They're saying different things about Jesus. Now, the line that jumps out at me as a speaker is this one. He says, I may be untrained as a speaker. What this says to me is that there have been people who have criticized his messages. And I will tell you for a fact, I know this for a fact, there's nothing more sensitive than a speaker if you criticize him. In fact, I will give you some wisdom. If you want to come up to me after a message and tell me it was good, here's how you do it. You say, all of your messages are fantastic. This one was particularly dynamic. There's nothing more sensitive than a speaker when it comes to their speaking, unless it's a musician when it comes to their music. Am I right, Ricky? Music was good today, Ricky. I liked it. Just so you know. He also mockingly calls them super apostles. So I don't know what his inferiority that he was feeling in that moment. But whatever it was, he decided to give us some words off of his resume. So if we keep reading, he says this. Whenever anyone dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. That was a big deal back then. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. His heritage was in line with any great religious leader. He had all these things going for him. He keeps going. Are they servants of Christ? He stops himself a second. I'm out of my mind to talk like this, but I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. Now pay attention to this, because what he goes through gets really hairy. I've been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. Beaten 39 times. That happened to him 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Look, I don't know much about any of those things. I haven't been shipwrecked. I haven't been beaten. I haven't been stoned. Insert joke right there. But I know the last one, the concern for the, I was a pastor of a church for 25 years, and the burdens of those people and the money issues and the children's issues and, hey, the worship is too loud. He has got this huge, long litany of things that he has done. But I want to point out what he said at the beginning of his resume. He says, I am foolish to do this. Why is he foolish? Paul knows that those things that everybody can see are not what makes him valuable. It's not what makes you valuable. Your resume isn't what is important. Your job experience, your GPA, that's not what makes you the most usable. And there might be some things you're great at. You might be great at work. You might be a high achiever. You might be really fit. You might be in amazing shape. You might have great hair. Those don't make you who you are. Life begins where your resume leaves off. Let's keep reading, okay? 2 Corinthians 12:5. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my, he said, weaknesses. Here's the thing he's willing to boast about. The things he's not good at. And if you read him over and over, he talks about this. I mean, he's got everything. If we're going to want to be a Christian person, we want to be like Paul. He's got every reason to brag, but that's not what he brags about. It's weaknesses. And then he says this, 2 Corinthians 12:7-8. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, puffed up, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And God never did. Now look, we don't know what that is, that thorn in the flesh. And there's been lots of conjecture. If you read commentators, there's all kinds. Some people think he had epilepsy, that he would fall into seizures. Some people think that he battled depression or mental illness that he couldn't get over. Some people think that it was a spiritual weakness. I personally have a personal opinion that I think that he had nerve damage in his back. It says that he had been beaten 40 lashes minus one. What does that mean? Well, they would take a stick about this long and they would tie onto it leather straps. And at the end of the leather straps were pieces of metal and bone. And it would be taken across his back at the top and pulled down. One. Two. 39 times. Why 39? Because they thought, it was said, that 40 would cause death. So he was beaten 39 times. That happened to him 5 times. Now, as somebody who's had back surgery, I got to tell you, that can be painful. It might have been nerve damage, but here's the brilliant thing about the Bible. It doesn't tell us. You know why? Because we'd compare. Oh, well, Paul, at least you haven't gone through this. You haven't gone through that. You know, what you think what you had was difficult, Paul. Well, I have this. There's no comparison. The reality is what God is saying is that there is something and can be something in all of our lives that is a thorn that is there, and not because God hates you, but just because it is there. And God might allow that to exist in your life. And you could pray and pray and pray, but it's still there. There's a line from the movie Leo that I can't get out of my head. And it comes from a song. So let me give you the background. The movie Leo is about this lizard. He lives in a cage. He is the fourth grade pet. And kids get to bring him home. Well, he's 74 at the time of this movie, and he has heard that lizards live to be 75. So he wants to make a difference, and so he decides finally, as kids take him home, that he's going to reveal that he can speak. And so he gives out wisdom to each of these kids when they take him home. He's trying to make a difference. He's trying to have a purpose, right? This particular girl that you're going to see in this song has just shared with Leo that her parents have divorced, and she doesn't know what to do about it. In fact, she starts to cry And this is Leo's response. Okay, here you go.
Don't cry, eyes for weakling. Don't cry, it's lazy and dumb. Dry those tears, they make you look ugly. Suck it up, you blush and succumb. Everyone's stuck with something they're stuck with. Everyone's trapped in something they hate. What does it suck to blubber and why not be strong? Make the best of your fate. Don't cry, it's really annoying. Turn off the faucet, it looks bad on you. I know it's hard, I know your trouble, but we've all got problems, so go freaking.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? What a lovely sentiment. Thank you, Jack, for sharing it in church. Here's the line. Everyone stuck with something they're stuck with. Everyone's trapped in something they hate. That's our reality, isn't it? Physical problem, maybe? Maybe you're in a marriage that you had dreams it would be this, but it wasn't. Maybe you have a child that, boy, you were so tight, and now they're so far, and you wonder if you'll ever get them back. Maybe you battle OCD. You didn't choose it. You didn't choose to be depressed. In fact, if you look back in your history, you could see you probably inherited it. Everyone's stuck with something they're stuck with. Paul, it was some kind of thorn. We don't even know what that was. But I guarantee you could figure it out what yours is. I don't know what his was. I don't know what yours is. But the answer for both of us is in 2 Corinthians 12. But he said to me, after he said he wasn't going to take it away, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this is why he allows you to go through difficulty. And this is why he allows you to go through pain. And this is why he didn't just pull out the thorn. Because his power is made perfect in those moments. I want to give you two reasons why God allows thorns. And the first is this: thorns keep us close to God. Man, I wish that it was winning lottery tickets. That would be better. I want that. I wish it was homes going up in value. You know, promotions. That's what I wish would draw us close to God, but you and I know differently. And I've seen it in churches so many times. There was a couple that went to our church, and they were so dedicated to going to our church when things were bad, and then things went amazing. And then I saw him Christmas and Easter until he lost that job. And then I saw him all the time. It's just the way it is. Okay, let me give you a fact about me. I am the youngest of four. I have three older sisters, and I was, without question, the favorite. And you can see why. It's not just the flamingo shirts. I mean, I have the whole package here. Like, I'm the only boy, I'm the youngest, and I'm a pastor. My mom used to, everywhere she'd go, this is my son, the preacher. And I told her, stop saying that. No one calls me that except you. But every place, boy, she was the proudest. And it wasn't just my mom. My grandma was proud of me. She had saved some money for one of her grandchildren for school. But only one. Who got it? I got it, baby. We were so poor that my college degree was paid for by the government. Thank you, California. That has gone away, by the way. But I went to seminary, and Grandma Cam. And if you're pregnant and you're looking for a baby name, okay, this is it. This was her name. Mildred Minerva. Beautiful. Yep. Millie, Minnie. You could nickname her. Mildred Minerva Cam. She had money, and this is the way it happened. Every semester that I was about to pay for my college or my seminary degree, I would take her out, Grandma Cam, and we'd go out to Marie Callender's. And she'd order off the senior menu. It would take her 3 hours to eat, and she'd bring half of it home. And we just spent that time together. Now, Grandma Cam could have made it easy on me. She could have just said, hey, here's all of the money. And just when you need it, just write a check from it. But she didn't do that. She said, I will give you a check every semester that you need it. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that 23-year-old Jack would have still had those lunches at Marie Callender's if he got all the money up front? How many people think he would? What do you guys think about me? What the? Here's the reality of us. All of us would have done the same thing. Would Grandma meet it out that every semester she knew that she'd get time with her grandson? That's what thorns do. Thorns give us a reason to go back. Thorns give us another reason to have to run back to our God and say, man, I need help. You got an injury that won't go away. Marriage isn't working. Your kid's far from God. Drives you to the place where you're on your knees. Paul puts it like this. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Doesn't hide his weaknesses. He glories in it. And those are the things that drives him back to God. Okay, let me give you another reason for thorns. Our thorns keep us real and authentic. Here's the funny thing, right? When we talk to people, we want to speak off of our resume, off of all the good things that we've done, all the quality things. Here, look at every great thing. Look at all these amazing things that happen. But here's the ironic thing. We don't like those people. We don't want to be with somebody who everything is always going their way. Those people are annoying. What we are drawn to is somebody who's real and authentic and shares their weaknesses because we get it. We can relate to people like that. The key is to owning our weaknesses and allowing those things to be seen. Now, Paul has some great wisdom, but there are two words that he says. It's in a different passage. It's still in 2 Corinthians, but he says it before. But he makes this statement in 2 Corinthians 1:4. God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble, in any trouble. Two words. You know why you go through that difficulty? You want to know why you have that thorn? You want to know why that pain is still in your life? Two words. So that. You battled with a parent who drank. So that. You have a kid that's far from God. You struggle with that. So that. You lost your job. So that. You had a health issue. So that somewhere there's somebody with a health issue that you can love and you can care for. That's the reality. Listen, there's a bond between those who suffer deeply and similarly. Right? And those who suffer are uniquely qualified to comfort those who are suffering. Everyone stuck with something they're stuck with. Leo. There's somebody in the Covenant Grove family who understands this better than I do. And so I'm going to bring her up on stage. Amy, you ready? All right. Ricky, you going to help her? I'd like to see Ricky just lift Amy up on the stage.
I'm going to say something first.
Yeah, you got to have the microphone.
What you had said about having three older sisters and you are the favorite, and man, if I said that to my sisters, they would beat me down.
Okay, yeah, right.
They're watching right now.
Just so you know, it is real. It is very real.
And also my mom's name, Hilda Hazel Josephine Kakala. Gross.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
So, Amy.
Yes.
What are you stuck with?
Well, what I am stuck with is MS. Many of you know, but some of you don't. I have multiple sclerosis. I have had it for 25 years, and I use a cane. I have tried everything not to use a cane. I have walked with people. I've walked close to a wall. I've walked by chairs. I hold on to my husband when I walk just so I wouldn't have to use a cane.
Yeah.
And that's humility that I was lacking. Pride overtook me, and I didn't want to do that. But finally, I have to change my ways, and I have to start using a cane. Because y'all know I wear dresses often. Now, I'd look pretty darn stupid on the ground falling if I didn't use a cane. But also, I would say that I have to retire. Which was really hard for me because I don't see well. I have the MS. I had an attack a few years ago. Well, it's been a little while. And it attacked my optic nerve. So I have what's called a black hole on my optic nerve. I have to wear prism glasses. Otherwise, my eyes just go wherever they want. Now, Jack, you're looking at me right now. Mm-hmm. And I have to wear a patch on one of my eyeglasses. So if you look out, you can't see through it.
Yeah, I can see that right there. Yep.
Yeah, but if you are looking through it, I can't see out of this eye, but you can see my eyeball. So that is a little bit easier for me. But again, I still have to use a cane. Now what's beautiful is that I got a dog a year ago, and it's a collie. And because I walk with him, I don't have to use my cane, which is beautiful. So I named him Lane. So I traded in my cane for Lane.
So great.
Yes. And,
okay. Second question.
Yeah.
All right. We pray. We pray all the time for you. Why do you think God has chosen to not take that away from you?
Well, I, like I said, there is no, God chose that. That is not the way it is. Actually, it says in the Bible, in James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift is from above. So what that means to me is that God didn't give me this. That comes from below. But also, God has allowed me to have this, and I'm not suffering because of it. He is there with me at every turn. So I just have to find a new way of dealing with things, do it better than maybe I did before. And I wouldn't have ever thought that that could be a possibility, but it is. It is a possibility. I don't think Ricky would say, oh, that Amy, she's bad now. No, I don't think you would say that. That I learned to deal with things because God is with me. He has promised an abundance and he's giving me that. So maybe I have to do things differently than I used to. Maybe I had to give up things like a job or driving that much or reading, or, you know, so many things, but there's a workaround. I found other ways of doing things. And I do that now. Maybe I don't cook as often as I did. I never really cooked, but that's just why I have a boy. That's my man. He cooks good.
Woo! You reach somebody. You hear she just said, preach it.
Yeah, that's right, Alana.
So let me ask you this. This is the path. Mm-hmm. What's your so that?
Oh, man. So that. Answer to that question. Is I have MS now so that I will spend more time on that which is more and more important to me, or the most important to me, which would be my husband, my God, my family, my friends, doing things that actually have a lasting reason for them to even be part of my life. There's no reason for me to just sit and worry about silly things.
Yeah.
And so that I will slow down. It's funny because just a couple of days ago, I was texting with my three older sisters and I had said, boy, for people who think I do too much now, imagine if I didn't have MS.
Yeah, right.
So that I will ask for help from others. I'm not good at that. I never was good at asking other people to help me. But now, again, because of my MS, I have to, so that I can make them feel they can use their gifts. And that is a gift that many people have, is helping other people. And my goodness, how great that we have a congregation and people that we can look to that are happy to help.
That's
even
right.
If we don't want to ask, that we never wanted to ask. Can I have you hold that?
Yeah,
thank
sure.
you. Just ask him for help on holding that.
Well, I was thinking that it's humbling to ask somebody. We always want to be the helpers, right?
Yes.
It's humbling. But what God says over and over and over is that the people that he uses are those that he humbles.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Okay, you got a closing closing statement for us?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I have some things I want to say about you.
Oh, man. Ooh, that's scary. Well, my closing thing is this is my thing that I'm stuck with. And I think there are so many of us who are stuck with something. And I want you to know that you are not alone, that there is someone out there who would be more than happy to talk to you, to sit and listen to you. Judge Judy always said, that's why God gave us two of these and only one of these. Listen more, talk less. So, yes, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for you to talk. If you need more information, we have a whole resource table out there, has resource information for you. Join a life group. We are a life group church. My goodness, life groups are fantastic. So get involved.
So I have been coming to Covenant Grow since January. And you can't walk in this door and see this person without noticing. And it's not the cane. It's the smile. And I have said this to you before, and I'm going to say it in front of everybody. Amy, you smell like Jesus.
Oh, man. Okay.
When people see you, they don't see MS. They don't see a cane. They don't see weakness. They see somebody who's bubbling over and making a difference in the world. She has figured out her so that. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
You're good. I've also, this person is as much like a sister as I have. I have threatened to take her cane away from her and trip her with it, but I have never done that. But I will say this, that if she was an actual sister, it would be pretty close who is the favorite. All right. You want to stay up here with me and we'll pray?
Yes.
So guys, what's your so that? You know your difficulty. What's your so that? How's God going to use you? Maybe just in your prayer, just ask him that. God, I've gone through this. I've walked through this. This is my difficulty. Show me my so that. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for meeting us in this moment. Thank you, God, that you don't waste weakness. God, thank you for heaven when those are gone. But I pray that between now and then, that you would allow these weaknesses to bring humility to us and open doors so that we can make a difference in the lives of other people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, give it up for Amy. Now just jump into Ricky's arms, okay? Yeah, that's right. That's right. So at my former church, I realized that not everybody can relate to a 61-year-old dude wearing a flamingo shirt. That their church is filled with many different people and different places of life, different age stages and what have you. And what we would do from time to time was bring up somebody after the message to say, hey, from your angle, from your perspective, what did this mean to you? So we're going to do that today for the very first time. Megan, come on up. All right, Megan. So give me your impressions. What, you know, from this message, what was God speaking to you about?
I'm nervous.
Okay.
Well, I guess to me, first of all, this is my favorite movie. I love Leo. So I'm glad that I got to talk about this movie. But, I guess for me,
let me ask you this. What are you stuck with?
Okay. I have anxiety and, ADHD. And also for people, if you know me, you could see that I have ADHD. It's pretty obvious. But, I feel like for the other side of things, like people who don't know me that well, they might not see that I have like depression and anxiety. And so I think like with the movie, like with Leo, all the kids had something, but their friends in their class like didn't know, but Leo knew, like they would tell him. And so I think that, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you never know what someone's really, like, dealing with on the inside. And I know it sounds like cliche because a lot of people say, like, oh, you don't know what they're going through or whatever, but I'm very outgoing, but, like, unless you really know me, like, I don't really show that side of myself to people because it goes on internally.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, even though I have that, like, I feel like I've prayed about it, like God always helped me through it, but it's not like it's just going to go away. Like, I mean, I have medication and like I see therapists. So it's like, deal
too.
With that.
I have my therapist as well.
And I think that, it's also so I can help other people, but also to realize like to love myself.
Yeah.
Like God made me like this, on purpose. And sometimes it feels like kind of like a burden, like I want to do my laundry, I want to clean my room, but it's like, okay, with ADHD, if you know, it's like really not that easy to just be like, okay, I'm just gonna do chores or whatever. Like it's deeper than that, but like I don't want to have that.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, I can help other people who go through it. And also it's like God loves me no matter like what I have, no matter if it's MS or if it's like mental struggles and stuff like that. It's like he is going to love me and I should love myself as much as he does. And I think like you're always your worst critic of what you have to say about yourself. And like everyone always tells me like, oh, you're bubbly, you're so happy all the time. And like it is true. Like I am, like this is who I am. But like, okay, when I go home, like my parents know, Jacob knows, but like other people don't know.
That's
like
right. Yep.
How like sometimes you just want to go to your bed and never get out of bed and you just stay there and like
Right. Maybe it's funny. We look around people and go, man, that person's got it all together. Yeah. That person, their life seems to be, and there's always something, right?
Yeah.
There's always something we're stuck with.
It's like something you have to think about, like with other people and like,
okay, let me give
you, saying like too much of it.
It's okay. It's okay. I get it. Like, I totally get it. I have one more question for you. Okay. So what's your so that? You know, God put you through this.
Well, I think it's to me so that I can learn to love myself the way he loves me. Mm. And I'm only 24, so like I obviously haven't met like too many people that I can be like, oh yeah, I have that too. Like, I mean, I'm not that old, no offense. I'm not like that old, so.
Thanks for bringing that up, Megan.
I mean, I haven't gone through like so much life, you know, that I can like tell other people like, oh yeah, yeah, like I've gone through that too. Like eventually I know it's going to happen, but like I feel it's more for like to know that God loves me and
that
to love myself like
he
that.
He talks about an unconditional love for us, and we don't have to change it or be better or make sure that we're all fixed up. We could just show up at, and like a good parent, you will love us exactly where we're at. Now let me ask you guys a question. Do you feel like over the course of Megan's life, that God is going to open up doors for her to make a difference in so many people's lives? Is that right? That's how I feel too. Okay. Thank you, Megan, for being here. Great job. Love that dress. All right. I'm handing this over to you, Ricky. Yeah. You want to play some music? Oh, wait, we got a video. Don't we have a video? We have the transition video. I'm messing this whole thing up, but I'm just showing my own weakness. Okay. Here we go.